How many know it's time? Let me say again, how many know it's time? Turn to your neighbor and say, it's time. Come on, you can do better. Turn to the other and say, it's time. There you go. It's time. It's time for what? You tell me, what's the time for? It's time for God's people to wake up. Is it time for God's people to rise up? Is it time for God's people to step forth and walk in the destiny that God has for us to walk in today? We're starting a new series today we're going to do over the next couple of weeks. We're going to be talking about this thought, it's time. It's time. Now is the time for us. I want to speak to you on a thought today, the last giant. The last giant. Deuteronomy 3:11 is our text today, and it's a very peculiar text. When you read it, you think, well, this is a very odd text. This is one of these texts you read and go, what is really the meaning in this text? What's the meaning behind this text today? What was the scripture? What's God trying to speak to us through the scripture? Let's read it together. For only Og, how'd we like to have that name? That's his name. King Og. Turn to your neighbor and say Og. It's actually in the original pronunciation, it's Ug. How'd you like to have your name? Ug. I think cavemans gave him that name. Ug. You Ug. Okay, Ug. That's his name. King Ug. King Og, king of Bashan, remained the only remnant of the giants. He's the last of the giants. He's the last of the Mohicans right here. The last of the giant people. And he was the king. Indeed, his bed was an iron bedstead. Is it not in Rabbah of the people of Ammon? And then it gives the dimensions of his bed. 9 cubits is its length and 4 cubits is its width according to the standard cubit. Now, if you read the scripture, you think, all right, what is God thinking by putting in here that he's the last king of the giants and all we hear about him is his dimensions of his bed? It really doesn't make a lot of sense, does it? When we just read it in its first context and look at it, it doesn't make a lot of sense. Why would God really care about what size of bed this giant slept in? And so today we're going to look at some things, and I want to talk to you about this thought, the last giant. He was the only king who remained. He was the only person, the last giant left before the children of Israel had entered into the destiny of the promised land. You see, as the children of Israel were wandering in the desert for 40 years, they faced many giant people in their life. That God had placed many giants along the way, and they had to defeat these giants over and over again to possess the land, to possess the destiny that God had for their life. They had to conquer many giant people. And so when we come to King Og, the word of God says he was the last one left. And what this means was they were the last one. He was the last giant that the children of Israel had to face before they entered into the promised land. And why is this important that we see this? You see, because we see that the provision that God had given the children of Israel, as the children of Israel were wandering in the desert for 40 years, looking for the promised land, waiting on the promised land that God had given them, he had provided provision for them to travel. He had given them a cloud by day that they could follow. How many know that a cloud by day will offer shade? It'll offer a resting point. Yesterday I was out in the hot sun coaching football, and a cloud came out and covered me. I was like, man, I felt so good. And I was thinking about that. I was thinking, man, this is how they traveled. I mean, how else could a million people travel across the desert except for they were walking under a cool cloud that God had provided for them? And it says that when they traveled by night, he offered a cloud of fire. Not only could they see the fire, not only does the fire represent the power of the Holy Spirit, it's a symbolic of the Holy Spirit, but also fire provides what? Warmth, yeah. So he was cooling them by the daytime as he led them. He was warming them by night as he led them. Word of God says that when they traveled for 40 years, that none of them had to change their clothes. Now, how many know those people probably stunk pretty bad? But when we read this out and study it, this is what I was saying. It was saying that their clothes never wore out in 40 years. Now, how many of you have kids? I know we're lucky to make it through the first 2 weeks of school before some of our clothes are already wearing out. That means the children went 40 years. They went from infants and grew. Some of them were born right there, and they went from, some of them were born when they first started, and they were 40 years old when they got there, but yet they didn't have to change clothes. How is that possible? What this means is their clothes grew with them. That's what it actually translates to mean, that God provided for them. As they grew, their clothes got longer. I mean, you're talking about a supernatural God shading you, guiding you, warming you, keeping you cool when you need to. He said he gave them manna from heaven, that every morning when they woke up, just like you had called ahead of time, had Domino's pizza delivered to your doorstep, God had the manna waiting for them every day to feed them. I mean, God was providing for them. He had given them provision after provision to show that he was leading them to their destiny. Let me say this to you. Everything you need to get to the promised land, everything you need to get to the destiny that God has for your life, God has already provided. Let me say that again. Everything you need to get to the promise that God has for your life, God has already provided. He has got it under control. He has got this in the bag. We just got to step out and trust him that he's in control. We got to step out and say, God, I'll leave the familiar behind. I'll leave the things I'm slave to behind. I'm going to go forth. There's a promised land you're calling me to go to. And as for me and my house, as Joshua said, we're going to follow after God. We're not going to go back and be a slave to Baal. We're not going to go back and be a slave to Pharaoh. But we're going to go out and say, God, you're going to control our destiny. God, you've got a promise that you have spoken to us, and we're stepping out in faith, and we're going forward. Everything you need to get to your destiny, God has already provided. And so they get there, and they are just one giant away. King Og is the only one they got to go through to reach the destiny of the promised land that God has for them. They're one giant away from reaching consistency. Let me tell you this. If you're newly saved, I'm going to tell you that there's going to be ups and downs. That you're going to have to fight to get to the place in God where you need to be. That you're going to have bad days and good days. And you're going to have times of up and down. And there comes a point in your Christian walk, if you don't give up and persevere, that you can get to a place of consistency in the Lord, where you don't fall the way you used to fall, where you don't struggle with some of the things you used to struggle. But I tell you, it's a lot of hard work to get there, and you got to persevere, and you can't give up, and you got to conquer one giant to conquer another giant. You get past another giant, and you get conquer another giant. You pass this giant, and you get to the big walls that are waiting there at Jericho, waiting to face you face head on. But there comes a place, if you can get to it in the Lord, where you arrive, not spiritually, I have arrived, but there's a place of consistency, of maturity, that when you have defeated some giants in your life, that you walk in a more consistent place. You see, the children of Israel are in the desert wandering around. They're living from tent to tent, from place to place, continually walking around in circles, getting to the place that God has for them. There is no consistency. But the promised land offered a place where they could build homes. They can construct homes, no more to live out of tents, but they could build a permanent residence and live in the land of milk and honey, live in the land of plentiful that God had for them. And so there is a place that God has for us as Christians, if we will continue to fight to get there, that you can live in that land of milk and honey, a place of consistency that God has for us to live in. But many times we know this, that we're just one giant away from getting there. Today there's something happening across the United States, and we know about the 9/11 memorial. But something else that's going on, I think it's very dear to a lot of people here, is the kickoff of the NFL season. I know it's... Oh, you come away, hallelujah, amen. Yeah. You know you got your DVR set already. You're ready to go home and eat lunch and watch those games. How many know it's the football field? And when you watch a team go up and down the field, how many know what the toughest yard in football is? That's right. It's the last yard. When you're trying to score a touchdown and you get down to the one-yard line, that becomes the toughest yard in football to get. I mean, you could have been marching down 10 yards at a pop, bomb, 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 to the 20, you know, to the 30, to the 40, to the 50, to the 40, to the 30, to the 20, to the 10. He's down to the one-yard line. And you can be just popping along, but when you get to the one-yard line, that becomes the hardest yard to get. Why is that? Because the defense knows that, man, you've only got within 10 yards to work from. And so they're going to stack the line. They're going to send all the linebackers, all the linemen. They're going to stunt everybody, shoot every gap they can. And their whole goal is just to make a push and push the other line and resist the other line to getting across. They don't want you to score, so they're going to sell out, man. They're going to push, and it becomes the hardest yard in football to get. It's the last yard. And I believe to us spiritually that there's a lot of truth to this, that the hardest giant to overcome, the hardest place to get to is the last one that God has for us. The last hurdle seems to be why? Because Satan knows you're getting close to your promise. Satan knows you're getting close to your destiny. Satan knows you're getting close to a place of the promised land that God has called you, where you'll walk in a new consistency, where you'll walk in a new testimony, where you'll walk in a new place that God has for you and blessing your life. And Satan knows that. And so what's he going to do? He's going to send an all-out attack on you to stop you from the last yard. I'm telling you, he's going to push. You're going to push, and he's going to push back. And he's going to send every devil in hell he can to help him push against you. But the great news is this, that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And if I allow God to be my fullback, if I allow God and his angels to be my front line, and if I follow after God, I'm not afraid of a little resistance. I'm not afraid that it's fourth down and 1 yard to go and I haven't gotten anywhere the last three downs. I'm not afraid to push. God, you've got a place for me, and even though I'm getting resistance, even though I'm getting pushed back, I know that I got to push forward. I got to get out of the place I'm at to get to the place you've got for me. And so today we know that we are called to get out of the place we're at and go to the place of the promise that God has for you and I. You will feel the most resistance when you get the closest to your goal. When the Bible talks about giants, he usually describes the giants. This is very peculiar to me because when the Bible talks about giants in Scripture, we see where oftentimes they talk about how big the giant is. I mean, think about Goliath. They talked about how big he was. They talked about how big his armor was. They talked about how big his sword was. And when the Bible is talking about giants in the Bible, most of the time we see where it's talking about the size of the giant. It's talking about the size of the armor. But when it talks about this giant, King Og, the only thing it mentions about him is the size of his bed. And we put this in terms that we can understand. We know the dimensions of his bed was this. The dimensions of his bed was 14 feet long. His bed was 14 feet long and 7 feet wide. The only thing separating the children of Israel was this last giant. And the only thing we learned about this last giant is this giant had a giant bed, much bigger than this bed here, 14 feet long. Easily twice as long as this bed and 7 feet wide. And for those of you who are theologians, this is actually the first place we see in Scripture where we hear God talking through Scripture about a king-size bed. And so, sorry. You know I had to go there. I'm sorry. This hits me. Some of you ladies are wanting a new king-size bed. Say, it's in Scripture right there. Pastor Gene read it today that God talks about king-size beds in the Bible. So why is it? I begin to pray and say, God, what is it that you're talking about the bed for? What is it the bed represents? Woo, there we go. All right. Hope you guys who put this together really love me because I sit on this bed on the stage. Okay. If it falls, I'll be okay. It's just the glory of God's coming. Okay. See, I believe the only thing that's standing between us is the same thing that we see in Scripture. Isn't it amazing that it was saying that the only thing standing between the children of Israel and the promise, the last giant they face, was a giant bed? If you really think about it, what is the significance of a bed? I believe it's just this, that God was warning to us about this. That the bed represents a place of comfort, doesn't it? And that very easily in our life, if we want to, the children of Israel could have said, you know what? I'll just crawl up right here. will it stop? We defeated enough giants in our life. You see, to get to your destiny in your life, to get to the place that God has for you, we can go forth and push through the last giant that God has for us, push through the resistance we're facing, or we can climb up in our spiritual bed and say, God, I already love you enough. God, I've already given enough. God, I've already worshiped enough. God, I've already talked to enough people about you. God, I've already done enough for the church. God, I've already read my Bible enough. God, I've already prayed enough. God, I've already fasted enough. You see, it's the trap that Satan sets for every one of us, is that we think that we can climb up in this bed of complacency and we're okay. And what it does is that every time we lay down in a bed just like this in our spiritual walk, we're telling people around us, we're telling the community, they can go to hell, we're going to take a nap. See, we get spiritually caught up right here in a place of comfort. Oh, I've grown in church all my life. I'm at a place where I don't need to grow anymore. I've given before, and I don't need to give now. I've done things. I've taught classes before. I don't need to teach classes now. Let someone younger do it. I've been doing it for years. Let somebody else do it. And we'll get into a place of complacency. And God's got something so much more ready for us at the next level, at the next dimension that he's calling us to go to, but this giant of a bed stands in our way. Because many times as Christians, we'll crawl up on this giant bed and say, God, I've done enough. God, I'm happy where I'm at. God, I'm content where I'm at. And I believe the bed of Og is representation of the spirit of complacency. The bed of Og is a place, as God's saying, this is a huge bed that faces all of us as we walk to our destiny. We make this bed and we get in this bed. Let me say this to you. God will give us according to our hunger, doesn't he? God will feed you according to your hunger. And when we get complacent, we say, God, I'm fine. God, I'm full. God, I love you, Lord. You just do your thing. God, I'm fine right here. It's God. I'm going to wait, God. This is what we do as Christians. We think, I'm going to wait on God right here. Yeah, this is a comfortable place. Yeah, God, I'm just going to wait on you to pour out what you want to pour out to the church. God, I'm just going to wait on you to pour out the blessing, God. I'm going to wait on you to take me to the next level. In the meantime, I'm just going to rest right here. And all along, God looks at us and says, if you are there, you are getting nothing. He's looking for people who will crawl out of bed and say, God, I am hungry for more of you. God, I want more of your spirit in my life. God, I want to thirst after you. God, I want to go to a place, God, where I've never been before. God, I'm tired of living at this level. God, you're calling me up to a different level. God, you're calling me to a new level of faith. God has never called us to live in complacent life. He's never called us to live in a bed. Now listen, don't get me wrong. There is a great place of peace and security when you're in God's will. But let's don't mistake that with saying we're staying where we're at, that God doesn't want us to grow, that God doesn't want us to hunger. Because he wants us to stay hungry. And if we will stay hungry, he says he shall fill us, those who hunger and thirst after his righteousness. They shall what? Be filled. We got to make room for more if we want to receive more. And when we lay down, we're saying, God, I don't make any room for anything else. I'm just going to wait on the Lord. Well, you must think God's taking a long nap. I love cartoons growing up, as though many of you did. And one of my favorite characters of all time is Superman. Anybody love Superman growing up? I mean, Superman, he could do anything, couldn't he? He could fly, he could run, he could stop the bullets, man. He was awesome. What was the one thing that could stop Superman? Kryptonite. When Superman was faced with kryptonite, it stopped his power. It weakened him. The only thing that could ever weaken Superman was kryptonite. Let me say this to you today. The kryptonite of the church, you know what it is? It's the word enough. It really is. The only thing that stops us is the word enough. God, I've had enough of you. I'm going to lay right here in my complacent bed. God, I've known you enough. God, I've heard your voice enough. God, I've felt your power enough. God, I've seen enough miracles in my life. God, I've given enough. God, I've served enough. God, I've prayed enough. This word enough, and when we do that, it's like kryptonite to the church. Because God is not wanting us to say it's enough. He's wanting us to continue to hunger after him. He's wanting us to say, God, what is the next in our life? What's the next giant you're taking me through? Because you got a promise for me. You got a promise for my children. You got a promise for my grandchildren. You got a promise for me in my life. And the problem is this, that some of us had the Goldilocks spirit. How many remember Goldilocks? Remember the story as a kid of Goldilocks and how she went to the little bear's house? And she went in and she sat on Papa Bear's bed and said, oh, his bed's way too hard. And she went to Mama Bear's bed and sat down, oh, her bed's way too soft. But she went to Baby Bear's bed and said, oh, it's just right. She went to eat the porridge, remember that? Papa Bear's porridge was way too hot. Mama's porridge was what? Way too cold. But when she tried baby porridge, it was just right. You see, some of us, that's where we're at. We come and we're like, man, I go visit a church and that Pastor Gene, he's preaching and it's just way too hot for me. That worship, it's just way too hot for me. Then we go visit another church, and we're like, well, it's just a little too dry for me. It's just a little too cold for me. And then we go find a place where we can sit down and be comfortable and say, this is just right. They're not going to step on my toes. They're not going to stretch me. But I can get into heaven by going to this church right here. I can sneak in the back door to heaven right here. Far too long that too many of us have had that idea. We just want to be just right, and we're not, oh, it's just too hot, or it's just too cold. Let's just find a little safe place in God. Let's just find a little safe place. I don't want to be hot, and I don't want to be cold, but I don't want to be stretched either. I don't want to be cold, but I don't want you preaching against this. I don't want to be cold, but I don't want to be told this. I don't want to be cold, but we try to find a place of living right here. Of comfort. And the problem is this, the scripture talks about God rebuking that all through scripture. Revelation 3:15, look what it says. He's talking about the church. I know all things you do, that you are neither hot nor cold. I wish that you were one or the other, but since you are like lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, God says this, I will spit you out of my mouth. God says the people who play it safe, the people who lay right here in a place of comfort, of complacency, it's a place of complacency. I'm not hot. I'm not cold. I just want to stay right here in the middle. I don't want to grow. He says, I spew those people out of my mouth. That's a tough scripture to understand, isn't it? To comprehend, but it's very true. What's lukewarm mean? Lukewarm means we lay in our bed and say, God, I love you. I really do. God, I love you. But I'm just not excited about you anymore. That's what it means, really. Lukewarm means, God, I love you, but I'm just not excited about you anymore in my life. Where is your desire? Where is your hunger? Amos 6:1. Look at the warning. It says, woe to you who are at ease in Zion. Zion means the church. Woe to you who are at ease in Zion. He's a warning. Hey, woe, be careful. Careful to you who are at ease, at a place of just complacency, at a place of just easy street, man. We're just going to stay right there. It's a warning to us. Jesus talked about this warning in the parable of Matthew chapter 13, verses 24 and 25. Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is like a farmer who planted a good seed in his field. But that night, as workers, what? Slept. As they crawled into bed, his enemies came and planted weeds among the wheat and then slipped away. See, when I go to sleep, Jesus said this, when you sleep spiritually, you're allowing the enemy to come and plant weeds all around you that will grow out and choke out the harvest that God has for your life. God does not want us to go through our life asleep. Spiritually, he does not want us to walk asleep, complacent, standing still. Look at the story of Samson. When was Samson destroyed? When he fell asleep in the lap of Delilah. Remember that story? She put him to sleep, and then finally she figured out it was his hair. She put him to sleep, and it was there. She cut off his hair. You see, there's something that God's trying to speak to us, a theme about falling asleep. Falling asleep in our Christian walk with God. So today, I declare to you, it's time. Let me say it one more time. I declare to you, it's time to wake up. It's time to wake up and say, I am not going to sleep my way through the place that God has for me. I am not going to allow this last giant to be the place I stop. But I'm going to go forward in God. I'm going to wake up. It's time. It's time for us to wake up. Don't settle for anything other than God's best for your life. It's time for us to stop playing it safe and step out and believe. All along, Destiny Church has been founded by not playing it safe. I can tell you that. That when we stepped out in faith, literally 5 years ago, we stepped out in faith, seven families meeting in the basement. Those seven families stepped out and said, we're going to go from the basement to the Holiday Inn and start a church that God had laid on our heart to start. And out of those seven families, God just grew that place of filling up that room there at the Holiday Inn. And when we moved into this building, we're like, man, this is a big step for a bunch of people at the Holiday Inn. They really don't have a lot. But we knew God was calling us. We knew God was asking us to step out and not play it safe. And so we stepped out in faith. And this building might as well have been the Taj Mahal to us, because really we didn't have any resources on our own to do what needed to be done here. But God provided all along the way. God provided people who could take care of what needed to be done. And things just fell like dominoes in row and row and row. And God allowed us to step into this place. As I look out today and I see that we've added all the chairs we can add in this place. And we've got a full auditorium here today. I can tell you, it could be very safe to say, you know what? Let's just stay at one service. I like it full. It's a better crowd. It's a better feel. It's a lot of momentum. I can tell you, as a pastor, it's kind of scary. I said, let's start second service now. Let's go two services. We're going to take away people out of the first service, out of this service to help start an earlier service. And so it's going to change dynamics to a certain extent as we're growing that back up. And it can be a scary thing. But I believe God is speaking very clearly, because I've never called Eugene and Destiny Church to play it safe. All along, I've called you to step out in faith and just to believe. And so I'm not just preaching to you today. I'm preaching to me. I'm preaching to our church spiritually that it is time for us to crawl out of the bed of comfort and say, God, we're going to quit playing the safe. God's speaking to you today to say, you know what? I got to quit playing the safe. I got to get out and say, God, I am hungering for more of you. I'm not going to settle for one good service every so often. And, all right, that's good. Now we got it. Now we can go another couple months and we'll wait. No, God is looking for people who are hungering for him consistently. God's looking for people who will give their life to him consistently. And today, Don't settle for the bed. Don't settle for that big bed that's so tempting to crawl into and say, I've done enough right here. I've done enough. No, God is calling you out. God is calling me out. God is calling you out to step out and say, God, we're excited about where you're taking us next. God, whatever giant we face next, you are with us. God, even though we've beat the bear and we beat the lion, God, now you're going to help us beat the giant that faces ahead of us now. God is for us. Who can be against us? Today, God is calling us. It's time. It's time. It's time. It's time. Let's bow our heads this morning. This morning, I want to ask you this question. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, you're talking about it's time to move out where I'm at. And today, maybe you're at a place where you're not even a Christian here today. You say, Pastor, I haven't been living for God at all in my life. But as you're talking today, I realize God is calling me out today to make a life-changing decision to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Today, I want to step into a new place in God. Today, I want to make sure heaven's my home and I want to enter into the family of God in a new way I've never been before. Today's your talk, and I realize God is compelling me to become a Christian, to give my life to Him. I've been waiting, and today God's speaking to me that today's my day of surrender. Today's my day of giving my life to Jesus. I will not embarrass you one bit, but today, if that's you, if you're here, can you just raise your hand or you ask me, Pastor? God's calling me today. Thank you. Anybody else want to join Him? Raise it higher. I can see it. That's me today, Pastor. Thank you. Anybody else that says that's me, I'm ready to make that decision. Anybody else want to join these people today? Raise it high. Don't wait. Don't be complacent any longer. God's calling you out today. One more time, I want you to raise your hand. If you haven't raised it yet, say, that's me, Pastor. I'm ready to make a decision. Raise it high where I can see it. Today, I'm going to pray this prayer with you. We're all going to say it together. We're going to repeat after what I say. Especially those who raised your hands, I want you to pray this prayer from the bottom of your heart. Let's say, Dear Jesus, I give you my life. I ask you to forgive me my sins. I give you everything I am. From this day forward, I will live for you. I believe your son Jesus is the Messiah, and I'm going to live for him. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer and you meant it for the first time, let's give him a hand clap. Welcome. Welcome to the family, God. Say, if you prayed that prayer, it's just the beginning of what God's wanting to do in your life. It's just the beginning. First of all, make sure you stop by the back before you leave today and receive a free Bible and some other material that tells you what to do next. It tells you more about your decision you made today. Also, if you don't have a church home, you need to be involved in a church home. Get involved in a church home. Get involved in one of our small groups we're talking about, our life groups, who can help encourage you and connect you to what God's got for your life. Everyone else today is here. How many says, Pastor, today, if you're here today and you say, Pastor, I'm ready to step out of my bed. I'm ready to say, God, I want all that you have for me. I refuse to live my life in a place of spiritual complacency. I want you to stand to your feet where you're at this morning. But you're declaring that in your spirit today. You say, I'm ready to declare this in my spirit today, that I am going forward. But today I'm going to hunger after God in my life. I don't want to settle where I'm at. But today I'm ready to go forward. I'm ready to say, God, I'm hungry for more of you in my life. I'm desperate for more of you in my life. I believe today God's going to do something great in your life. So now's the time. It's time that God's calling you out to make a decision. Say, God, I'm not going to settle, but God, I'm going after you like I've never gone after you before in my life. We're going to close with this song that says, this is the air I breathe, that I'm desperate for you. And let's make it our personal prayer today that, God, we are desperate for you.
This is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. Your holy presence living in me. Come on, sing this. This is my daily bread. This is my daily bread. This is my daily bread. Your very word, Lord.
Your very word.
Spoken to me, Lord.
Spoken to me.
And now I'm desperate for you.
Your holy presence. This is my daily bread. Your very word spoken to me. And I love, I'm desperate for
Church, God, I speak out with spiritual authority. And God, I call those who are asleep. It's time for them to wake up. God, I pray for spiritual people who are asleep spiritually to wake up, God. We call out, God, we would wake up. And Lord, there would be a sense of urgency. There would be a sense of desire. Laying down all complacency. Laying down all places of saying, I just want to be comfortable. God, take us to a place, God, of higher dimensions, God, where you wake us up. Lord, we're not afraid to face the giants that lay ahead of us, God, today. We pray that, God, your Spirit, Lord, would be hungry in everyone here today, God. We would hunger for more of your Holy Spirit. We would desperately seeking after you. We would desperately be people who are wanting more of you in our life. God, I pray right now, Father, that your Spirit begin to be poured out to people who are hungry for you, who are desiring after you, God. Something that's happening in the spiritual realm. I believe there's something that's happening in the spiritual realm that God is waking us up, that God is calling us out and saying it's time to get off your spiritual bed. And God, I begin to believe you for more. I want to serve you more. I want to do more than I've ever done before you. I want to receive more than I've ever received from you. I want to walk closer to you than I've ever walked before in my life. God is speaking that word to us today, and we receive that. We say yes, amen. You say yes, amen. One more time, you got a hand clap? Justin's going to close us out in the word of prayer today. Thank you so much for being here. Justin, close us out.
God, we say yes this morning, God. Lord, we don't know what the future holds, God. We don't know, but we know that you are a good God. And Lord, every plan that you have for us, God, is one for our success, God, and one that your name would be made great among your people, God. And Lord, we say, use us, God. Lord, wake us up from our slumbers, God. Wake us up from our sleep, God. Lord, shake us, God. until we wake up and hear you and see you and feel you, God, and that we decide to be obedient unto you, God, with all of our hearts and souls and our minds and our strength, God. We love you this morning. And God, we will walk in your love and in your spirit, God, and in your peace, God. And Lord, we pray, God, that you will continue waking us up, God, and pouring into us, God, your hopes and your dreams and your visions, God, and your desires, God, for your people and for this world, God. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.